Peace be with you. Welcome to The Dean Show, another exciting episode. Now, did you know that this man that we're going to be discussing today, he is the man who is rated the number one influential human beings in history? 1935, the Supreme Court of America honored him as one of the greatest lawgivers, and so many others, great intellectuals, great historians, people, academics have praised him for all of his wonderful accomplishments. But now there are also many people in his name who do opposite to his teachings. So we want to find out, how would he react to those people now who insulted him, who belittled him, who did all sorts of harm, physical and verbal, and how we as Muslims, for the one that's so dear to our heart, we don't worship him as a god, but he was sent by God to deliver the message of God, just like Jesus, Abraham, Moses, and all the other messengers, calling people to worship the Creator, not the creation. And he was the best example for mankind. That's right, we're going to be talking about his life and his example and how we should emulate him in the best of ways and how we should react to some of these craziness that's out there slandering him. When we come back here on The Dean Show, don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean, The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean, The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean, The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Thank you for being with us here on The Dean Show.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Now, we opened up. Many people don't know. They don't know about the greatest man. When we say, are we exaggerating now? That when we talk about Muhammad, peace be upon him, I mean, this doesn't take away from Jesus, Moses, and all the other great men who were messengers sent by God. Many people don't know that he was ranked one of the most influential men in history, and all of these other fascinating, wonderful things that really soften the heart when you learn about him.
Absolutely. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him as Rahmatul Alameen, mercy to all that exists. And this title was only given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Obviously, all the previous prophets, they came with a similar message of worshipping of one God and staying away from things that are that exploit people, injustices, corruption, to stay away from that and to call towards the worship of one God. So he, par excellence, being the final of God messenger to humanity, the message he has come with is just that message of the worship the Creator, not the creation.
Yeah. Now, someone says, our brothers in humanity who we want the best for, we got love for all of mankind. That's why we're sharing this message. So yeah. our fellow Christians out there said, no. How are you going to compare Muhammad to Jesus when Jesus said, for God so loved the world, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, right? And you don't have this with, you have all this love coming from Jesus, but you got all of this violence coming with Muhammad. How would you answer this?
Yeah, because they don't really know, anybody who says that really have not read even a page on the life of Prophet Muhammad. When you look back at his life, he suffered tremendously. Just like Jesus, peace be upon him, he also suffered tremendously, and attempts were made to assassinate them. Similarly, in the time of the Prophet, as this message of God is being delivered to humanity, there are many people who become very much against this message of peace, this message of justice, this message of harmony, because it is through corruption people get to do what they want to do and how they want to do. And so Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, went through a lot of sacrifice, a lot of moments when people have even attempted to kill him, groups as well as individuals, and we have seen his remarkable way of dealing with them.
Isn't it true that, you're a scholar in Islam, isn't it true, and it's not sugarcoating anything, that if you say, look, that I don't like Jesus, let alone I don't love him, I don't believe in him, that as a Muslim, you will go to the hellfire.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus is part of our faith. And I always tell our Muslim, our Christian brethren in faith, that apart from Christians, Muslims hold a very high status and belief and love for Jesus, peace be upon him. So without respecting him, without believing that he is a messenger of God, we cannot be an upright Muslim.
Now, if you contrast his life, Jesus, peace be upon him, before we go to Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that when this they quote this verse, for God so loved the world that he sent, we believe that Jesus was sent. Can we interpret this that for God so loved the world that he sent prophets and messengers to guide humanity with?
Yeah, absolutely. Because in our scriptures, Allah says it very clearly in Al-Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And this short chapter is entitled the chapter of Ikhlas or sincerity, that say he, Allah, is one, he is the absolute, he begets not, nor is he begotten, and nothing is comparable unto Allah. So this was when some people asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is the genealogy of Allah? That Allah has children? Because in that time, in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Quraysh used to say the angels were the daughters of Allah. So there were people who were placing daughters to Allah. And again, Allah addressed that in Quran. And in this particular surah, it tells you that Allah is unique. He has no son. He has no daughter. He is the creator and everything else is creation, including Jesus, peace be upon him. He is a created being. And so we respect that. We respect that he is the messenger of God. He came with the truth. He came and established the truth. And so Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the final messenger of God that he came with that final message to humanity.
What about the person says, what about all this violence? Every time I turn on CNN, there's some Muslim out there and he's representing Muhammad allegedly, and now all of this negative stereotype is being associated with Islam.
Yes, a lot of things that we see in the name of Islam actually, in fact, are something else coated with the name of Islam. Because if we look back at the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we will see that there are many times people, let us take for example Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu an. But before he became a Muslim, he was on the verge of, he was on his way to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on his way, he met this other companion who was hiding his Islam. His name was Nu'aym. And he said that, okay, where are you going, O Umar? He said, I'm going to finish off this man once and for all. And he meant Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so after that, Nu'aym said, trying to sidetrack him not to go there, he said, why don't you go and take care of your sister and your brother? And they have become Muslim. And we know this story that when he went there and he saw passages of the Quran. So like many people, they have not seen the Quran. For many Muslims, they have not read the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So they pick up verses, they pick up situations, they have their own agenda, tie all together, they do this violence, and Islam get all the blame.
So that has nothing to do. You got to judge Islam by the actions, not the actions of Muslims, but by the actual text, and we have to interpret it not according to our desires.
Absolutely. The texts are within a context. The text has historical context. It has, over the ages, great scholars have given interpretations to them, and none of these have called for violence or to use violent means as a way of establishing our faith.
Charlie Helbo, I'm going to ask you about this. I'm going to ask you about the hysteria usually when this messenger who we love dearly is insulted, how we should react to it. Yeah. More of this here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. We are talking about the most influential man in history. And this is the greatest man to ever walk the earth. Now, this has been stated in the book written by Michael H. Hart and many others, We talked about academics, historians who really sincerely looked at his life, and they had the utmost wonderful things to say about him. But now, you had mentioned that most Muslims, they don't even read or study his sirah, the
yes.
history. So can you elaborate on that? When you're ignorant, now the emotions take charge.
Yes.
So now you can't defend him in an academic, in a polite way. You end up doing more harm.
Harm in an emotional way. And that is exactly what is happening. And I think some people who study the Muslim world, by and large, their behavior, they see that you say something and there is no intellectual discussion on that. There is a lot of emotional outbursts that go in contrary to what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has brought. And so when situations such as Charlie Hebdo, when he did this cartoon and the satire about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that should be an opportunity for the Muslim world to become engaged in a dialogue and to let the world know who is Muhammad, peace be upon him. Obviously, we are all hurt, intellectual or non-intellectual. Anybody who insults your creator, anybody who insults the Prophet of God, even if they insult Jesus, peace be upon him, we feel hurt. Even they insult Moses, peace be upon him, we feel hurt. They insult Muhammad, peace be upon him, we feel hurt. This is a believer must not feel joy when somebody insults any of the prophets of Allah, let alone the best of all, the human being, Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this 1.8 billion Muslims, you feel hurt when this happens. But I see it, and I think there is enough evidence from the seerah of the Prophet that when people come to harm him, he took the opportunity to engage them in the message, not in their action. And so this opportunity to engage in the message is what we must do. And so, for example, when Umar ibn Wahab, he left Makkah, and he and Safwan, who were not yet Muslims at that time, this was just after the Battle of Badr, they had a private conversation. And Umar said to Safwan, you know what? If I had the means of taking care of my debt and my raising my children, you know, I would have left them behind and I would have gone and killed Muhammad, peace be upon him. Safwan, who was a rich guy at that time, said, look, don't worry. I'll take care of your debt. I'll take care of your children. You go and do what you have to do. And so the two of them alone knew this plot. He did not even tell his wife. All he said, you're going to hear big news.
This is a paid assassin now.
This is a paid assassin. And he knew that he was going to get killed by doing that because he's now going to Medina, where the Prophet is now the leader. So you are doing an assassination to the leader of a people. And so he went there. And as soon as the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he said, why have you come, Umar? He said, well, you know, I come here because my son is a prisoner of war. I've come to ransom him. And Allah had revealed to him while Umar was on his way that he is coming to kill you. And he has a sword, poison sword. So even if it were to touch the Prophet ﷺ, he would have died, not from the wound, but from the poison. And so the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, so what about the sword? And so he said, oh, this sword, you know, it didn't do us any good in Badr. So Prophet ﷺ said, tell me, why have you come? You have come because you and Safwan had a discussion at the Kaaba that you were going to come and kill me and he's going to take care of you and your family and your debts and so forth. And right away he said, I have to testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah and that you are the messenger of Allah. Nobody knew that. Not even my wife knew that. And this is the sword, O Prophet of Allah, I have come to kill you. Now, under any law of modern time, whether it's Geneva Convention or Oslo Convention or the law of the land, anybody who goes with the intention, with the tool, with the purpose of assassinating the leader or the president of a country, even if you were to give him the death penalty, you would have been justified. But Prophet ﷺ did not give him the death penalty. He gave him what will liberate him in this world and hereafter. He gave him Islam.
There are so many examples of that.
And that's, there are many examples. Oh, example, Fudala ibn Umar. This was another one. He was going, this is after Fathu Makkah, which after gaining victory now, he was going, when the Prophet ﷺ was going around the Kaaba, doing tawaf around the Kaaba, he was going to plunge a dagger behind him, from behind him. And he knew, obviously, I'm going to be killed. And when he was near to reach the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and said, "Are you Fadala?" He said, "Yes."
Subhanallah.
And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just put his hand and said, may Allah bring Islam to your heart." So what I am seeing here is that people and nations and tribes, all those who went to kill the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave them what was better for them. He gave them Islam. He did not emotionally said, "Okay, this man is coming to kill me. He is, evil. Let's get rid of him." No, he gave them the message of Islam, the message of peace.
What do you say to our brothers in humanity when they turn on the TV and again they see all of this, you know, hysteria revolved around Islam, and they say, "Look, you know, they see ISIS being portrayed 24/7 on the TV like it's representing the majority of Muslims." So they think, they say, "Look, you guys are the silent minority. They are the vast majority." You know, they flip it around, and now they think that that's representation of Islam.
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we have been saying from the very beginning, whether something happened to the Prophet or not, whether a violence takes place or not, we are saying that Islam is not a violent religion. So when violence comes on, we are saying that, look back at these people. They are doing something which is not Islamic, which does not represent the vast majority of Muslims. This is a minority of a minority. Unfortunately, these are the people who get the wide publicizing. And so the world sees them. They don't see the vast majority who are struggling to counteract this kind of violent expression or manifestation of Islam, or in the name of Islam.
So for a person who sees, how would you now, you're a spiritual leader in the community, when someone does see, because holding a balance, when you see a lot of injustices, we would say that Muslims are the most oppressed people now in the world today. Can we rightfully say that?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look back at all the Muslim, the wars in the Muslim country and leaders and so forth, oppression that goes upon them, yes, there. But again, it does not call for any violent means of changing. What could have been more oppressive? Which society could have been more unjust and oppressive than the Meccan society for which the Prophet ﷺ had come? And 13 years he spent with them, and he never waged any war against them. And when he came to Medina, he did not. Most of these battles that were fought were instigated by the Meccans themselves. It was not that, okay, let's go and fight them now. It is, they did not stop coming after them, even after expelling them from Mecca.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk more about the proper channels to take to express some of your emotions when we come back here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. So before we went to break, the right course of action, because it's natural now, you see a lot of the oppression, you see a lot of your brothers. I mean, we are brothers in humanity, but those also who submit to the Creator and unto creation, those who follow the way of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, who are Muslims, we now see them suffering in other parts of the world. And some of the young, naive, you know, they see this and they think that now I'm going to go and do some good. I'm going to go fly across the land and, you know, get in some war over there and whatnot. And instead of taking some proper channels, what course of action? Because here, obviously, you have the right to speak, you know, to go ahead and to voice your concern, to take, you know, the proper means. Tell us, what are some of those proper means, the proper course of action besides violent actions and, you know, hurting innocent men, women, and children, which Islam is opposed to? What proper course of action could we take?
Yes, well, I would say first and foremost, religious leaders in America and around the world, they need to give the right message to the younger generation. And that message is that it's a message of engagement, using the opportunity to engage in dialogue, in talking to people, as the Prophet ﷺ have engaged in dialogue, in individuals, in whole tribes, and a whole nation. We have cut off this process of presenting Islam in an intellectual and in a peaceful way. So scholars need to give that message. It's not a message of war. It's not a message of violence. It's not a message of treachery. And let alone these young people who who's have passion for whatever they think they can now change the world without any motive. When you are teenage years, you feel like you can conquer the world. I mean, we've all passed through that at one point or another. Whether you think you look the best in the whole village, you're the best, you're the most macho guy, whatever it is, you always felt that the whole world is you can actually change this whole world. And so that energy needs to be channeled. And I'll give you a good example. When also the conquest of Mecca, Bilal radiallahu anh began, obviously he was chosen by the Prophet ﷺ to stand on the Kaaba and to give the first Adhan. And there were some young men who started chuckling and said, look, he is giving the Adhan, basically like as if an Abyssinian, a former Abyssinian slave, cannot have that position. And so this message came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he called these young men and said to one of them, "You said so. Well, they were afraid. They said, "Yes, we said so." He said, "Do you have a good voice? Let me hear your voice." And he taught him the Adhan. And then he said, "Okay, now you go and call the Adhan." So turning that energy into something that is positive, that's something that will benefit, that is what our youths need to do. Secondly, our youths need to take time off and to study the seerah from the original sources. And yes, they are translated books. They are books in English. And I'm sure several languages, you have authentic books of the biography of the Prophet ﷺ. They need to study every aspect of that. Thirdly, I think parents also need to sit with children and to tell if they are inclined into any form of extreme thoughts, extreme belief, extreme actions. They need to sit with them and say, this is not the way forward. Rather, this is counterproductive or counter-Islam. This is against Islamic teachings. So from the pulpit of the preachers to the home, to the child, then these things are to be channeled in the positive, in the right direction. And when we see violent things, we have to speak out against them so that they would see that this is not normal and this is not correct.
So tell us, I want to just focus on this for a minute. When we see the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims were about 1,400, is this correct?
Yes.
When the peace now treaty was signed, how much time was it from there until the conquest of Mecca, and we see a jump, a dramatic jump from 1,400 to plus 10,000? Is this where the da'wah was open, that you can go ahead and share this message?
Yes, exactly. So the Treaty of Hudaybiyah to the conquest of Mecca, maybe we are talking about less than 2 years. Less than 2 years, Islam multiplied tenfolds. Or more.
Not through the sword now.
Not through the sword. This is time.
That's da'wah now.
This is da'wah.
Full force da'wah.
Full force da'wah.
Sharing.
And this is the first time, if you look back at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, if you talk about freedom, this will be that moment of freedom. Because all the other episode in his life, anytime he went to another tribe, it was the Quraysh that came and said, "No, you can't do this. No. This is our tribe, this is our..." So it was always something stopping them. So within 2 years of freedom, no fighting, Islam multiplied tenfold. So then the question is, did any battle help to promote Islam? I mean, it was more in defense, yes. But if you really want to promote this message of peace, we have to take the path that where there is no violence, there is no treachery, there is no extremism, with the freedom to express yourself and to invite humanity to this religion of peace. I think that is my message to our youth.
Now tell us a little about your organization. Also, many people, they see this word, hear this word, Sharia. You're actually the chairman of the Sharia Committee on ICNA. Yeah. Tell us what this word means and what a little bit about your information, your organization, and what you do in the next, we got 1 minute left.
Yes, yeah, so Sharia, we have had, as a matter of fact, 2-3 years ago, we've had a complete convention on the theme, understanding freedom of religion, understanding Sharia. So Sharia is basically the way that God so intend for the human being to live his life through that divine guidance. This year, our convention, ICNA Mass Convention, is in May in the Memorial Weekend in Baltimore. And we are going to Baltimore, and you know Baltimore right now is going through this phase of, again, challenging injustice, but you cannot do another injustice while removing an injustice. So it will be very good that we're going to see what plays out in another 3 weeks. And our theme of this convention is simply Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we think it is, not, we don't wait for something to happen. As Muslims, it is our responsibility to invite people to the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and to know who is this person. Let alone when something happens, like from January to now or from last year to now, yes, this is the opportunity that we have, again, intellectually to dialogue and to present Muhammad, peace be upon him, as he ought to be presented, a man of peace and the most influential human being that ever walked the face of this earth.
Thank you so much. We started with that peace. We end with the peace. And inshallah, God willing, I'll see you again sometime soon on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, peace be with
you. And thank you so much for tuning in. Sharia, you heard this word, and you know that Jesus, peace be upon him, Moses, they were practicing Sharia. This is divine guidance, the Ten Commandments, that's Sharia. Now you hear some of these words, you know, in Arabic, but Jesus spoke Aramaic. That's right. They didn't speak English. So now, but when you get it translated, you're like, okay, that makes sense. And for all those out there that now they just go off emotion. Now, we as Muslims, we have to do things the proper way, take the right course of action. We heard some wonderful examples from our guest today. So get informed about the greatest man who ever walked the earth. And he was sent for you as a mercy to mankind. Read about him. Look at the message that he brought. I guarantee you it will resonate with your heart. But put all of this prejudice, all of these negative emotions to the side and realize there is a purpose to life and he's delivering it. That's right. From the one who created life, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that Jesus called you to worship. Jesus never said worship himself or anything in creation, but he came with the same message as all the prophets and Muhammad just being the last of them. Get to know this man and tune in every week to the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Now you can even follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Keep up with us. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.